Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. We will continue today to speak about the topic of the laying on of the hands. That will be part two. And we'll go through the scriptures and you will understand the value and what is the purpose of what God gave us. When we lay our hands on people, we have read previously that in the New Testament, that when the Lord brought, they brought to him children, those who care for the children, their family, their parents, they brought him children, he laid hands on them and he blessed them. So there is a blessing imparted from God through His church to the world around us by laying on of our hands. The Lord promised in John chapter 7, and verse 38, you see, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In verse 39, but this is speak here of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We discussed that. It's one thing of the will of God that we need to go forward to be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. So these rivers of living water will flow through us, in us and through us to the world around us, so that God will reveal himself through the work of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. And the Lord also promised in Mark 15, and verse 17 and verse 18, as we have read previously, up to verse 20, and they will say, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out the devil, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth, and he preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following them. Amen. We had spoke about these gifts and we read the laying on of the hands. God wants to use our hands purposefully, not only for healing as we have read in the scripture, but for the impartation of more blessing of God. And we need to do it with a deep understanding. There is abuse of using the laying on of the hands. And many they use it for wrong purpose, without discretion, without discernment. But let us study the scripture that give us wisdom and understanding and teach us how to apply this gift, how to use this gift from God, and what is the application of it. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. We bless you, magnify you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray you anoint the service and the message. Speak to us, O God, and through us, through your word. Send the Holy Spirit to direct the service in the way that you want it to flow in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing grace, I pray for miracles, I pray for souls to be saved, I pray for the expansion of your kingdom. I pray for more workers and servants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they will have the wisdom and understanding how to live their life and how to save you, how to care for the people with them, with their families, the church congregation, and the flocks that they need to reach out. I pray, O Lord, let the harvest of righteousness, let the hundredfold harvest, let your word achieve the purpose of your heart, that which, because of that, you sent this word to us this day. We thank you, Lord, we bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 48. One of the scriptures that speak about laying on of the hands and the impartation of the blessings. When Jacob wants to bless Joseph and he wants to give him the right of the firstborn, because his firstborn Reuben has done something mischief and some disgrace, and Jacob wants to impart to Joseph that first right, firstborn right, because he have done good things for the Lord and for the family. At that time, Joseph brought his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he brought them to his father, and the father wanted to bless Joseph, his son. But in order for him to give him the two portions, more than his brothers, every one son of Jacob have received one portion, but for Joseph he gave two portions, and for this reason he told him that these two sons of yours will be mine, so that they can receive the two portions more than the brothers of this one Joseph, so that God's purpose will be fulfilled. Now let's read this one. And I read verse 14. And Israel spread out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guarding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And I will continue down. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his hand right upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held out his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, No, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Now, in verse 15 stages, and he blessed Joseph. So when he laid his hand on the two sons of Joseph, the blessing was determined for their father Joseph. Because of their father, he needed to lay his hand on both of them. So he knew what he was doing, right? No, I'm not going to explain why he put his right hand on this and his left on the other. Why he put his right hand on the younger and his left on the other. I'm not going to explain that. But I'm going to explain that when Jacob, he put his hand across in this way, he knew what he was doing. This is the ring on of the hand. When we do it, we must know what we are doing. And we must emphasize to the people what God wants from them. Even Joseph wants to make, you know, it is not, everything is not correct. This is the first one, he can know it. This is the first and this is the younger than he. But that is the will and the purpose of God. For certain things, Jacob did it in this way. Even as a church, we must do everything based on the scripture and based on the will of God and what the Holy Spirit is leading us and telling us to do. And the purpose is to impart the blessing. When Joseph said to his father to correct his hand, he told him, This also will be a great nation. He will also be great. But the purpose of God, I need to do it in this way. And also in Christ Jesus we have a blessing. We have inheritance in heaven. It will not decrease or perish or will be lost. As long as we are willing to follow God, the blessing of the Lord is there for us in heavenly. Even if we will not take it on earth, as long as we are abiding in His will, our blessing is there, kept for us. Let's go to the book of Numbers. That is the first scripture. In the book of Numbers, in chapter 27, when God spoke to Moses that Joshua will be the one to succeed him as leader, he told him certain things, how to ordain Joshua to be the leader of just him. He also, by the way, of laying on of the hand. I read verse 18. And the Lord said to Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hand upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So here Joshua was commissioned by God through the life of Moses by laying his hand on Joshua, and God told him what he needs to do. You bring him in the front of Eleazar the priest and give him the charge, give him the responsibility, give him the commission, give him the responsibility in the precise way, that he should be the leader, but Eleazar the priest, he should be the one to inquire of God for him. On the word of the Eleazar the priest, that he would declare what God wants, Jacob will follow and lead the people in that way. And he don't bring Eleazar the priest, and he brings the whole people also, and he brings Joshua, that when you lay your hand on him, he should know the condition, everyone knows, everyone should know that he is commissioned to be the leader, that he should follow Eleazar the priest, and why he needs to bring the people. It say in verse 20, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the king of Israel may be obedient. When God said lay hand on him, that he will be honored, not for his head to be big or proud, so that others will obey whom? Obey Moses, who taught them the word of God. Obey the commands of Moses, that he would just, that just will declare it to them, they will obey him, because Moses has honored Jacob by laying his hand on. And God was honored, yes, because it is the command of God that Moses would do that, and he did it publicly. So when Moses laid his hand on Joshua, Moses knew why, and Joshua knew why, and also Eleazar the priest knew why, and the people knew why. So there's a purpose for things that God wants to do through our hands. In the book of Numbers, chapter 11. We need to know what we are doing. We need first to hear and to understand what God is saying to us. And even understand what God is saying to us when we understand Scripture. Numbers chapter 11, when Moses was in the wilderness and he was the leader, and everyone were hungry, they want meat. They were not hungry, they have the manna, but they were looking for other things, and they start to grumble, and Moses cannot bear the grumbling of them. Because they need meat, and also when they grumble, they will have more problems, they will have more troubles. He has a burden, he does not know how to lead them anymore, because he was alone. God told him to call the 70 elders, and that he will also impart some of the spirit from Moses unto them, the spirit of God, so that they will help him in administration and in the leadership. So here in Numbers chapter 11, and I'll read it from verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, for you have breath in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. Now let's go down to verse 24. What has happened when Moses called him and what the Lord did, how he imparted to them the Spirit of God. And Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and sent them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. You see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit to be given to the people and for us today to be filled with the Holy Spirit, God wants His church to be run by the Holy Spirit, not with our own understanding, not with our own wisdom, and not also with our parents. Those, at that time, the Spirit of God was on Moses. But Moses is not enough. He told you bring the 70 elders. The 70 elders, they were the people also that God told Moses when he went to the Mount Sinai, you bring the 70 elders with you. So now he wants to give them part of the Spirit that was on Moses. And when he did it, what they start to say? They start to prophesy. Prophesy is to declare the will of God, not only to tell the future, but to declare what is in the heart of God and what God wants the people to do or to achieve. And the prophecy can also tell what is God going to do in the future and will give also warning. So in that case, it is not only Moses who will warn the people, who will teach the people, who will declare to the people what they need to do, or he will judge, but there are a group of 70 people with him as a body will carry on the work of God by the Spirit of the Lord. No more they depend on their parents or their wisdom. You know, the church should not be run by parents, because, and that's the problem of the church today. When the church run by parents, you will find the church full of activities, full of celebration, but sin is not dealt with. Either it is hidden, or there is covetousness, because there is no Spirit of God, and sin starts to spread. Let's read verse 26. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. He said that there are two men, they were among the 70, they did not go to the tabernacle, some hindrance. But they were among the names that were written. He said when God did, when he gave some of the Spirit of Moses, put it on the 70, so they would carry the burden with him, even though two they were not there, the Holy Spirit went on them, and they started to prophesy in the camp. So here, the gift of the Holy Spirit that we received by laying on the hands, and here in this story there is no clear that Moses laid his hand, but there is transference of the Spirit from Moses, the Spirit of God, through him to other people. For what? Not only to prophesy and to show us that we can speak and we can preach, and we can give Bible study and we can do this. No, but in order to do the work of God in a proper way. That's why in the next verse, and there ran a young man and taught Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. They told him, these two guys, they did not come to the tabernacle, but they are prophesying in their camp. In verse 28, and Jethro, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord, Moses, forbid him. He said, Lord, forbid him. He spoke to Moses, don't let him prophesy. See the answer of Moses. And Moses, verse 29, and Moses said unto him, in this thou for my sake, with God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. He said, you are envious because of me. He said, I wish that all the people of God are prophets and the spirit of God on them. He is humble Moses, but the point of Moses is not about humility. What he is saying, if every people of God, they have the spirit of God, and they would declare the will of God, not the life of devil, and God is that. And you get the point? He affirms that the spirit of him is the Holy Spirit of God. Let them speak, let them preach, let them rebuke, let them cast out demons, let them do the work of God properly in the way that God wants it to be done. When God do the work, he do it for a purpose. When we have the Holy Spirit, God give us the Holy Spirit. God calls us to prophesy, to tell, to declare the will of God. Don't wait for Moses to come and do it for you. You have to do it where you are. You are responsible before God to declare the whole will of God to the people. And that's why you are given the Holy Spirit. So that you will tell it clearly to the people. To your family, to your neighbor, to your colleagues. In Deuteronomy, chapter 34, there's other scriptures speak about the purpose of laying on of the hands. These things had happened in the Old Testament. When we study, we have orientation more of how we conduct our life and ministry in the New Testament. Just today, we are getting lessons. 34 verse 9 say about Jethro, and Jethro, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So here, when Moses laid his hand on Jethro, he got the spirit of, he was full of the spirit of wisdom, because Moses laid his hand on him, and because of that, the children of Israel, they obeyed the command of whom? The command of Moses. So that when Moses already died, with the word of God that he gave to them, Joshua worked it out that the people will obey the command of God that came from Moses. That's why when we lay hands on people to do the ministry, they should follow the teachings that they receive, that we have received from the Lord. Not to change the way of ministry. Not to change the word of God. Let's go now to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 8. We had read previously in Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, that the Lord did miracles and signs and wonders by the hands of the apostles. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip was in Samaria, and the apostles hear that the Samaria accepted the Lord. Now read from verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem hear that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So here when they pray for them, and they lay hands on them, they receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, they get baptized with the Holy. They get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why the apostles, they need to lay hands on them? Why they need to pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We discussed previously the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer life. And we can go through it quickly. When we receive Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That we are marked by the Holy Spirit that we belong to Christ. And from that moment, the Holy Ghost will start to work in us. The process of the sanctification, to cleanse us from sin, worldliness, and that's where the discipleship process is starting. And as we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost, we get cleansed and sanctified from sin. And as the Holy Spirit works in us, we start to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They start to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the ultimate work of the Holy Spirit in our life is that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the body to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Again, God wants His church to be run by the gift of the Holy Spirit, not by the tearing or human understanding or wisdom. The gift of the, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, everyone filled with the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit is speaking new tongues, interpretation of tongues, message of wisdom, message of knowledge, he can be quarter, also it can be for administration, it can be gift of hearing, also gift of prophesying, it could be evangelist, teacher, pastor, so that the church will be equipped. When the apostle hears that the Samaritan accepted the word of God, John and Peter were sent to them so to see how is the work of God there. When they reach there, they find they are only baptized in the water. So that only Philip was pioneered that work is filled with the Holy Spirit. But he needs other people with him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They pray and they lay hand on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And how we know they are filled with the Holy Spirit? If we read verse 18, say, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, He offered them money. There are somebody here named Shimon, he was a sorcerer. He was one of the first converted, as the scripture said, he was even water baptized, but he was not yet in the faith. Now, we are not going to speak about him. No, but we are going to speak that when he saw that the Holy, when he saw that the Holy Ghost was given to them by the laying on of the hands, because when the apostles laid their hands on the believers, they received the Holy Ghost. What Simon noticed, he noticed they were starting to speak in new tongues and they started to prophesy. Again, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to the church to declare the word of God and to declare the will of God to the people around him, and they will be warning and serving God with the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, that's why when we lay hands on people and they receive ministry and they receive the Holy Ghost and they receive gifts from God, they are accountable to continue to do the ministry that God has asked him to do. And that's why here there's no way of church division. There's no way also that I will just retire from my ministry or I move away from the church. Have you got the point here? That this gift was given through the church to the people for certain good purpose. And as we receive it, we need to continue the ministry that God has called us through His church. All of the scripture that we have spoken is spoken about God calling people, anointing them through His church. That's why, when we do it, when we lay hands, we have to do it in this creation. When we receive the gift, we will be more accountable how to act, how to serve God's needs. And very important person in the body of Christ, same as you are. As Moses was important, here we are today also we are important. We have the same gift of the Holy Spirit, we need to be good stewards of what we had received. In Ephesians chapter 4, and speak about why God gives spiritual gifts. Why we need certain time to lay our hands on certain disciples to do certain ministry. There's a work need to be done. And need to be done by the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, either God will baptize himself directly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come by the Lord Jesus Christ, not the church, but God sometimes may use the church, the leaders of the church, as they lay hands, God will give the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, but we need to do it with understanding and wisdom. We should not abuse it, and we should tactfully use the laying on of the hands. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 to verse 14 say, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now here, the gift of the Holy Spirit that given to the church The gift of the apostles who laid the foundation, who were sent by the Lord, whom the Lord revealed himself to them, they met the Lord and he commissioned them. And they are the ones who laid the foundation of the early church. And we today, we just continue the apostle ministry that the apostles that they had started after they met the Lord. And besides that, besides the apostles, God gave to the church, even this today, he gives, whom he has, he gives prophets, some of prophets to declare the will of God, to declare what is coming on in the future, to declare the thing that God is going to do. Because of this, God will do that. Because of this, God will do that. He will give warnings, the prophets, as we declare the messages, and the things that we need to do. We are declaring what is God going to do in the future. The people who comply, they will find themselves in the perfect will of God. Those who will not be complying, they will find themselves in a mess. Because they did not respond to the prophecy. They treated the prophecy with contempt. Other gifts. I'm describing now these gifts. Evangelists. To tell people who have not heard about Christ. About Christ and his work on the cross. That he died to take away the worst sin. And declare to them what they need to do. To receive Christ. To repent. To renounce their sin. That's the work of evangelists. And some pastors are responsible to nurture and care and feed the flock with the word of God. Give them feeding, put them in the right atmosphere. Pastors are responsible to create right atmospheres, hot parties and friendship and TVs and other things. Pastors should clean the church from activities and worldliness and friendship with the world, because God invites wolves and give the word of God to the people. Whatever having wrong plans, selfish ambition, the pastor should cut these things so that the mind of the people will be at peace, receive the Holy Spirit inspiration and direct them in the right way. Some pastors, they know how well they would take the flock. Not to the worldliness, but into holiness. And to the Lord. And some pastors and teachers. Teachers, they know precisely the meaning of the word of God. And how to be applied. And which message, which teaching needs to be expounded more to fit the needs of the church. Why these gifts are given? Because God wants His church to be run by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. And what is the result if we allow the church to be run by the gift of the Holy Spirit, not by the talents of man, or understanding of man, or the capability of man? He said here, for the perfecting of the saints. God wants to perfect us. For the work of ministry, God wants His ministry to go by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is how the church now expanding? Church is expanding now through parties, through friendship, through giving money. Have you got the point here? There's no work of the Holy Spirit. There's work of the worldly spirit, spirit of error. God does not want it to work in the life of His church. And that's where it will be false conversion. We find people, many people like Simon the sorcerer. Without repentance. for the perfection of the saints, every now and then God declares certain things to us, certain teachings, and we need to go through it. Our means, and for the defining of the body of Christ, to bring church from sin. The church today is in very desperate need of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Church now today is engrossed with activities, Halloween celebrations, Valentine celebrations, the rest of worldly celebrations that in the world, Father Day, Mother Day, birthday celebrate, all absolutely worldly, coming from the ego of man, selfish ambition, world of the flesh, infiltrating the church. And God wants to defy the flesh from the rest of the sin. Laziness, lies, lust, immoralities, and God wants these gifts to operate so that this sin will be combat. You know, I tell you something, there's good amount of the people of God, they sin because of lack of teaching and discipline. No one has, because the office of the teacher is blocked. They are false teachers. Many churches nowadays, they want to follow, but they need a pastor who will protect them and take them away from holy atmosphere into a holy atmosphere. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God wants us to be mature, to be perfected. How many times is it here, the perfection? Perfection will come when the whole God's gift was in the church. When there is an activity there is no perfection, you will find people, they will feel they say, no one is perfect. And now no one is perfect. So, it means they are operating by the human talents, not relying on the Holy Ghost gift that God gives to His church. And what for? We need, the church needs to operate with the Holy Ghost gift. That's why certain we need to lay hands on certain people to do their work. Even they are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they are certain ministry assigned to them, they need to do it well. And verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children are easily deceived. There's no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That means the way of life. Way of life. When these offices are not operating, when the Holy Ghost gifts are not controlling and leading the church is easily tossed back and forth with every kind of teaching and doctrine, even not correct. The people are encouraged to follow these non-correct things because the gift of the Holy Spirit is not operating in that church. You see here, by the lies of men, by the lies of men, their cunning ways, and cunning craftiness, where did they lie in wait to deceive? Many independent churches, they don't have foundation of the Word of God. They refuse to be taught. How then the Holy Ghost will perfect the church? That's why we need to understand the scriptures so that we can live and apply the heritage that we receive from the Bible. That's our tradition in the Bible, in the Word of God. So that God's blessing will come to us, to our families and children, and to the people around us, and to the next generation. First thing, God willing, we will continue next week. The purpose of laying on of hands. Perfectly. Lord, thank you. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We adore you. Continue, Lord, speak to us. Guide us, Lord. To live your word. To fear you. To follow your commands and decrees. Teach every one of us to honor the gift of the Holy Ghost. To apply properly the laying on of hands. And also, Lord, those who have received gifts, they must teach them, Lord, to be accountable that this gift not belong to them, belong to you. You are giving it to them through your church. They need to serve you by serving the church. Because that's your body. I pray, O God, for unity. I come against division. I come against work of Satan. I come against liars and the craftiness of men and the cunning of men. I rebuke it all in the name of Jesus. I come against all errors of doctrine. I rebuke it all this evil spirit that calls man to be deceived by lies. I bind and cast it off in the last churches. I pray, O God, raise up among us evangelists, teachers, prophets and pastors. O God, I pray, help us, Lord, to penetrate whatever, O God, hinders that stopping your church from expansion. O God, I pray, name of Jesus, send your Holy Spirit, your angel ahead of us, preparing the way to the place, O God, that you prepare for us. O God, fill me with the Holy Ghost once again. Pray to the Lord, refill me again with the Holy Ghost. O God, draw me, Lord, into your presence.
God, I come into your presence. With all my heart, I come to seek your presence. Fill your embrace with love and your grace. Your presence is my God. I desire to seek your
Thank you.
Use this message, O God, to reach the churches and the congregation, that people would hearken unto your voice. O God, O Lord, name of Jesus, O God, you make a way, O Lord, that people get filled with the Holy Ghost to serve the living God with the gift of the Holy Ghost sent by Satan. So the church will be perfected and congregation evolved and a flock that astray, that without direction will be reached out. Hear our prayer, O God. Lead us, O God, in the way that you want us. Bless us, O Lord. Bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand lead us. Give us, Lord, from home so that we will not see you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
Amen.